The very reason you're sitting there and I'm standing here is because we believe in God. If you don't like the term God, we can simply say we believe there's something more to the life than just what we see with our eyes. And the very reason that probably motivates a lot of people, including myself, to go into the spiritual cultivation is somehow there is a way to train our mind so that we can handle things in a better way. I became a minister, that doesn't mean I'll have less problem than you have. I'll have car accidents, I'll have sickness to my wife, and you know, we have sometimes struggles, and our child will bring a lot of problems too, and yes, and maybe, you know, I'll have probably exactly the same or more struggles than anybody else. But I can share with you that the way I handle it is quite different from a lot of people. And I don't say that I'm doing it because I have a greater faith in God than you have. But it's way of training mind. In the Buddhistic cultivation, which I've been doing for 27 years, something like that, meditation. If you are ever engaged in meditation, what you want to reach is a state of being called samanti. Samanti is when you reach it, somewhat the world disappears, time freezes, but you have all clarity in your mind. Yet you're not attached to anything. Yet you are aware of everything that's around. Time could go, like an hour could go, and you feel like that's maybe 5 minutes. That's what you want to reach. Why? Because in samanti, then you can cultivate the truth. When you are detached, when you are fully objective, not about the world, about yourself, then you are ready. You're prepared. Today we have two scripture readings, and often people say Bible doesn't have a deeper meaning, or Bible is some other way just a story. But in a way it's true, and another way it's not so true. Moses was 40 years old when he fled outside Egypt. He was living in the land of Midian for 40 years. And when the 40 years was kind of completed, he was at the mountain called the Mountain of God, Horeb. And he saw a burning bush. Would you say these are all just numbers that doesn't have any meaning into it? Of course. We're talking about 240s with Moses here. Now, you know the number 40? Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted for how long?
40 days.
40 days and 40 nights. The great prophet Elijah was having a journey into the desert. How many days? 40 days and 40 nights. Even the rain in the Noah's, how many days it poured down? 40 days and 40 nights. So would you still say number 4 doesn't have any meaning? Of course not. It's a full completion of a certain struggle. We may call it temptation. Spiritual temptation. Somehow Moses had it in a double way. There's a 40. He was a 40. He killed a man. But he killed a man to save his own people. which caused him to give up the privilege that he was having. He was raised as a prince of Egypt. There's a movie, Disney movie about Prince of Egypt. He was raised like that. But because of he wanted to defend, protect his own people, he ended up killing an Egyptian. And he had to run away. That's when he was 40. Now this is when he is 80. And he's at the mountain called Mountain of Gods. Coincidence? Probably not. And there's a burning bush. And there is a saying that Moses, this is holy ground, and take off your sandal. Anybody got that one? Why take off the sandal?
Become more connected.
Yes. But at the same time, what's the sandal? It's a human made. It's man made. When you want to connect with God, when things become holy, what it signifies, symbolizes is that we have to somehow remove what is from human. What is from me has to be put down in order to be really connected. And that's Moses. And then he leads people through the wilderness how many years?
40 years.
40 years. He had a rough life. But as we were saying, Moses was in this situation for 40 years. In the first 40 years, he was raised as a prince. Next 40 years, he is what? Almost a servant, who is nothing, who is nobody. And then he becomes Moses. The Moses. Yes, the guy with the staff who, you know, does everything. Kind of neat. See the preparation that Moses was going through? And disciples. If you were to say disciples were just picked up randomly, that's not quite correct. As I was saying, Andrew was actually a disciple of John the Baptist. And it was Andrew who went to Peter telling that, Peter, you have to check this out. Why? We have Messiah. Kind of interesting short conversation. But somehow Peter believed it. He believed it. His name, Simon, is actually Hebrew, from Hebrew, Simeon. It means heard. Heard. Okay? It means heard. But when his name becomes Peter, Cephas, it means a stone. Rock. In Swedenborg's symbolism, which one's better? Heard and rock?
Rock.
Heard. That's good. But I'll tell you why he became rock. Why, more likely, why he had to become rock. And why God had to build church on a rock, not heard. It is our incapability of hearing God's voice without concrete understanding. We have a frontal brain which is quite active. And if anything does not really pass through it, what do? You reject it. You reject it, basically. Or you may agree at one point and go home and think about it again, and what do? Hey, doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to whom? to you. Simon is way better because it's heard. Heard means what? It's not hearing. It's heard. You heard it. You have it. You already have it. It's in the willing side. But when that communication is not possible. And that's why Simon accepted God just like immediately. But yet, his name had to be changed into Peter, stone. Stone is truth. And truth is good. But truth is something that you have to first hear about it, understand about it, think about it, and maybe agree about it. And then you will again think about either to do it or not. And then probably you'll come back and say, yeah, that was really true. Or not. Truth has many steps before it can come into our heart and make the work happen. So when God, Jesus, saw Simon, somehow he said, your name shall be Peter. Like, see, his name was Simon, heard. This guy believes without question. Yet, Jesus had to tell, your name shall be Peter. And on this rock, I'll build my church. You see the teaching? Jesus wants us to be from here to go Simon. From having the rock to go to Simon to be heard. In the Bible, whole Bible, hearing is very important. And if you ever check out any of our prophets, or go home and go to the BibleGates.com and type the word listen, then you'll have like hundreds of quotations from Old Testament. And basically, God keeps repeating things. Listen to me. Hear me. Listen to me and hear me. So, think about it. Just pause one moment. Have you heard the voice of God? If you have not, do you think God has never called you? Or you just did not hear about it? In my understanding, God has task for every single individual. We could call it even purpose, use. Each one of us, as I was saying a while ago, you are itself a miracle. You have, what, 100 trillion cells to make who you are and function what you do. You have up to 100 trillion independent little organisms working inside of you. That's who you are. To make one human being, it takes a lot. And all religions somehow shares one thing in common, is that a human being is a microcosm. You, inside of you, you are almost an image of your creator, which is you are a miniature of the whole universe. That's what you are. Not with just the body, the mind. Your mind has no limit except the ones that you set up. Your mind is free. But we set the limit because that's more controllable. It's more comfortable. Moses totally thought it's impossible. You know, a single man riding a horse going to Pharaoh and asking that you have to let go of my people. Really think about it. Does it make any sense? But if you see it from God's perspective, I'll do all the work. You just go show up. It's not your power that make it work. It is, in God's word, my power that will make it work. But I need you to show up. It is not so much different that Jesus is asking to his disciples. Jesus never really challenged it, except once or twice about their faith. Jesus accepted them as they were who they were. And blessed them. And the ones he picked, most of them were not from upper class, well-educated people either. He didn't really care about their intellectual capability. But he cared about who they really are. And especially these four, Andrew, Peter, James, and John. But that doesn't mean these four disciples understood fully about the mission and message of Jesus. Because you know they didn't. They were believing that Jesus will become a king one day and he'll make a big empire and they want to sit in high chairs. That's what they wanted. Because that's what Messiah is supposed to do. See? So they were following Jesus in the beginning not as the spiritual savior. No, Messiah for them was the one who will bring the glory to the people of Israel. The one who will establish another empire for the people of Israel. That's what they want. That's why they followed. And Jesus said, that's okay. Really. You know, I read Bible and the God I find is the one who is most understanding, most accepting, and most forgiving. In my experience, my God never let me down. Or never lead me to any way that brings any harm to me. And it is my hope and wish and assuring that you find your God in the same way. And when you hear the voice, it is my prayer for you. You follow the voice. I'm not sure what voice you may hear, what calling you may have. But I am sure at the end, you will be joyful. You may struggle in the process. You may not like it. You may reject it. You may say it's impossible. But at the end, at the end, you may be fulfilled. And that's in that short saying of Jesus saying, follow me. It says a lot. See, total difference from the Old Testament. Old Testament calls with the name. Moses, Moses, here I am. Elijah, here I am. Jesus simply saying, follow me. The God I believe is the God who leads before us, not sending us into mission and saying, I'll back you up. It's not that God has changed it, but it's that's the way we connect to God better. We want to see it. We want to feel it. And that's the message in the Gospels. That's Jesus walking on earth, talking to people. And in Swedenborg's summary, when invisible God becomes visible, there comes the power that fills whole visible world. So there is not a single space in this universe that presence of God is lacking. So my blessings to you in your journey, and my prayers that when you hear the voice, you will follow. Amen.